Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Ken Storrs is the Lone Piper, a professional performer of the bagpipes. For over a decade, Storrs has performed throughout Connecticut and beyond. We'll talk about his career and influences and so much more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Ken Storrs.
Hey, nice. Thanks for having me.
It's fantastic for you to be here. I know that there's going to be an important event coming up where you are starting out the ceremony, and that is the Still River Music Festival.
Absolutely. Every year they have a nice little setup of a lot of local talent, and they've been nice enough to ask me to come along and basically kick things off.
That's fantastic. Is there any, on such an event, in an auspicious event like a festival, is there something specific that you try to incorporate? Is there like a special song that you say, hey, this usually goes well with the festival crowd?
Yeah, I usually try to pick all the more upbeat tunes, like a lot of up-tempo tunes, things that are a little bit fast, things that kind of make you want to dance. Usually people hear a lot of songs that are either jigs or marches that usually a march will get you with tapping your feet. A jig will get you dancing a little bit. So I usually try to pick something along those lines.
You do many different events. So, I mean, it's not just festivals, but there's other ceremonies as well, which we're going to get into. But I want to stick with the kind of the festival atmosphere. That's always a lot of fun, especially the Still River Music Festival. The Still River Music Festival, which will be June 23rd, 2018. It's going to be at the Riverton Fairgrounds, which is a fantastic location. You've played there.
Oh, yes,
before,
absolutely.
Many times. In fact, last year is Still River Music Festival.
Yeah. Like I jumped in a few times with my parents actually played with a band called Mad River Crossing that had played there, and that's actually where it kind of started. They just asked me to come in.
So your parents also perform musical instruments?
They do,
yes. And they're performers. So is that how you started on your journey as a musician?
Oh, yes. We could blame Mom for that one. She very heavily musically influenced me growing up. My dad always played bass in bands, which got me interested in bass guitar, and Mom was interested in just about everything she could get her hands on, and bagpipes was one of them.
Oh, well, so your mom plays bagpipes, and then...
she started.
She started, and then through that, you start... How old were you when you first started the bagpipes?
When you start pipes, you usually start in something called a practice chanter, which is... It looks almost like a snake charmer flute, and it's... We had one at our house, and I always thought it was just kind of interesting because it made the weirdest noise when you played it. Like, she had a lot of whistles and, you know, little guitars all over the house. But then there was this practice chanter, and every time I tried playing into it, it made this weird honk sound. And I thought, what on earth is this?
So when you first started, it was kind of this interesting, eclectic type of thing. And then, but you grew to love it. Was there any particular moment where you... played it or heard it performed, and then you realized that that's something that you definitely want to pursue? Was there a moment like that?
Oh, absolutely. It was, I think it first started when my church in Winston put on this festival called the Boar's Head Festival. They do it every year. They were doing it every year, but every year began with a bagpiper starting off the ceremony, and I remember being young enough to know what the sound was, but not knowing how it was made, and it almost scared me a little at first because it was so loud. Mm-hmm. But it kind of grabbed my attention. I'm like, what is that? I want to know more about this. And, you know, the more my mom saw me getting interested in the bagpipe, she said, you know that thing you've been messing around with at home makes all the honking noise? I'm like, yeah. It's like, that's a practice chanter for bagpipes. I'm like, ooh, I want to learn.
Wow. And then since then, you know, and it's a very specialized instrument. You know, often people can, you know, pick up the guitar, learn a few chords and go to an open mic sort of thing. But with bagpipes, you've got to be committed to it. You also need to have that strength and fortitude toward it to make it happen.
Absolutely. It's not something that's easy at first. I mean, it's funny that bagpipes, it's like riding a bike. You know, everybody stumbles and messes around a bit when they first start. But, you know, the more you get used to it, it's like second nature. It's a bit of a dexterity test at first, just getting used to filling up the bag and keeping pressure on the bag. And that's what keeps the three drones over the shoulder going constantly, just one nice continuous hum. And the chanter does all the work in the front, which is the piece that you're actually playing with your hands. And just trying to keep all that going with a constant pressure and concentrating on the tunes. It's a bit of a dexterity test, but you know, the more you do it, the more it becomes actually a very easy instrument.
Is there any particular song that you enjoy playing? Obviously there would be different songs that you'd play, say, for a funeral. And I understand that you have played and performed in honor of the memory of people at funerals, of course.
Absolutely.
And different from, obviously, the festival and from other ceremonies, which we'll talk about as well. But is there any song that's your particular favorite on the instrument?
Oh, absolutely. There's one called the Clumsy Lover Set that gets everybody usually snapping their fingers, and because it's a very fast song, and it just really has this wild sound to it. And I think that's probably one of my favorite ones to play.
That's fantastic. I've teased this a couple of times. You play different ceremonies. One very recent ceremony that you play, that you perform every year for, is for the graduation.
Yes.
At the Northwest Connecticut Community College. So how did that start, and how many years have you been doing that?
I think this is going on either my sixth or seventh year with them. I could be wrong, but it's almost feels like the full decade now. And they got wind of me through the Boar's Head Festival, because at the end of every festival that we had, people would always be coming up asking me, like, hey, do you have a card? Do you play out? Like, can we, book you for an event? I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And somebody asked me if I could play for their graduation ceremony, and I was a little taken back. I was like, a graduation ceremony? That's an interesting take. And but at first it was just leading everybody from the college in Winsted onto the green in the middle of the town for the ceremony, and then leading them out. And this last year was actually played at the Warner Theater, and this year will be played at the Warner Theater as well.
Wow, that's fantastic! So you'll be performing. Are you on stage when you're performing, or are you slightly off stage? How does that work?
I lead them from the lobby of the Warner Theater right down the main aisle, and I lead everybody up to the stage. But luckily, I just play right in front of the stage while everybody gets settled in their seats.
Oh, okay, so you're kind of like leading the procession.
Absolutely.
People follow you while they do that. So it's not just the sound, but the entire experience. So then there would be an outfit that you would wear, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a part of it. Could you describe that for me?
Yeah, I always wear my full regalia for any kind of gig, which is, of course, if anybody's ever seen Pipers in Parades, it usually looks something like that, like a nice, they call it the Prince Charlie jacket, full kilt regalia, the sporran, which is that little fanny pack that everybody always sees kilted people wearing in the front, and then the full socks, dress shoes, the Glengarry, which is the type of hat they wear, and that's the full uniform right there.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, you know what we're going to do, because we've been talking about the bagpipes, and it's a very special sound. I want people to be able to enjoy some of your work, so we're going to just listen to just a little bit of Ken Storr's The Lone Piper right now. That was The Lone Piper, some of the bagpipe work, incredible bagpipe work, which is very exciting. We're going to listen to a little bit of the bagpipe work as we go to our first break. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Ken Storrs here on Nutmeg Chatter. Next week on this station, Nutmeg Junction, the new original audio theater program. This fantastic new program features the world of a historic and fictional trolley line in the Nutmeg Junction station. Each episode enjoys at least one old-time radio homage featuring character pieces like Blaze Jackson, Galaxy Adjuster, Tex Bijou, Cinema's Singing Cowboy, The Grey Whisper, Space Sentries, and more. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Ken Storrs. He is the Lone Piper. He performs at many different venues throughout Connecticut and beyond with his specialized skill, bagpiping. He has recently performed for the graduation ceremony for the Northwest Connecticut Community College at the Warner Theater, leading procession in full regalia. And he will be the first performance for the Still River Music Festival, which will be June 23rd, 2018. So, Ken, we talked a little bit about your family background, and your family performs, your parents perform on different venues, especially especially in Riverton and beyond. Tell me about their musical history. What bands are they involved in, or what? How did they get involved in the whole experience? Have they ever told you?
Well, when I was a kid, it was fun to actually go see my father play. Played bass with a band that did a lot of the cover rock hits from the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. They were called OBG Express, which stood for the Oldies But Goodies. And being a little kid, just watching your dad up on stage always, you know, makes you feel like, oh, that's my hero, that's my guy, God, that's my dad, like, thinking he's the rock star. And it was always nice enough to invite me up on stage with them and play tambourine when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. So you had that early experience of being up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
So you never had that, you know, any sort of like stage fright type of thing because of such an early age?
Oh, it was there.
Oh, it was there. Okay.
Yeah, like at first, when I first started playing pipes especially, like, oh, it was a little nerve-wracking at first. But the more you did it, the more the butterflies went away. But you know, tambourine's a little easier than pipes.
Very nice. So your father played a bass for a band, and he was able to bring you up on stage. And then at home, you had plenty of music in the house.
Oh yeah, the eclectic collection kind of grew because of Mom. You know, like, she's been involved in so many different musical events and projects, and it kind of got me curious. Like, I want to see where else I can go to. So I got a little nutty with other instruments too. Like, at home, I have a Mexican guitarrón, which is basically the bass guitar of mariachi bands.
Oh.
And I once picked up a bass sitar.
So you play more than just the bagpipes, but bagpipes is kind of that forte, that specialized, you know, if they need bagpipes, they go to you.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, such an exceptional skill. What music did you listen to at home? Like, if you were going to turn on the radio, or if the radio was on, or if records or tapes or whatnot were on, what were they playing? What was the music for you?
Let's see, I was all over the place, but my first love was metal. You know, mm-hmm. every kid kind of goes through, you know, the metal times, and even now I'm like, some days you just got to crank it up and enjoy.
Sure.
But thanks to Mom, there was also a lot of Celtic rock, and that's probably what kind of cemented it, because when you're younger, you're like, bagpipes, you know, it seems like a kind of a boring instrument and a loud instrument, and you're thinking it's not going to be anything too spectacular. But of course, Mom had this arsenal of all sorts of Celtic rock that made me think, well, okay, bagpipes can do more than I thought.
Wow, Celtic rock. So are there any particular bands or albums or songs in that genre that, you know, you can recall that would speak out to you, that would say, hey, here's an example of something that, you know, if there's a young person who might be interested in bagpipes, if they heard this song, they'd be like, wow, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. One of them was, the very first one I remember was this group called Clan de Gael. They changed up their name later in their career to Seven Nations. You can look them up on YouTube, and they still have live music, but they had a bagpiper by the name Neil Anderson, who, to me, was like the Jimi Hendrix of bagpipes. He was fast-fingered.
Wow.
Right? He was wild. You wouldn't think it was bagpipes when you heard him, but like, he's like very fast, very ornamental, which is, ornaments are just like all the different movements of the bagpipes that make him sound very charismatic. And that guy was probably one of the ones that cemented it for me. And I was like, I got to see if I can do what he does.
Wow. So you said that it may not even sound like bagpipes. What would it sound like? Would it sound like a guitar? Would it sound like, yeah, like a synthesizer? What would it sound like?
Almost like when you think Eddie Van Halen playing Eruption, like that really fast. Like, how is he doing that? Like, that's kind of like what this guy, Neil Anderson, was doing. He was all over the place. He was fast and he was precise. And I was like, I want that. I want to do that.
That's amazing. And so how did you learn? Obviously, you had some of the technology, if you will. You had the starting instrument to begin with. What was the name of that instrument, or the very beginning part?
Oh, the practice chanter.
The practice chanter. Okay, so you had the practice chanter to begin with. Was there somebody who was able to teach you, or was it trial and error? Was it learning?
At first, it was trial and error. Because Mom had the practice chanter at home, she also had a booklet of like one of those self-teach bagpipes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Which, of course, you could find almost anywhere online in some, you know, Scottish-based stores. But I thought to myself, you know, okay, how hard could it be? I'm going to give it a try. And basically, it just teaches you the scales first so you can get used to, you know, the fingering positions, learn a few tunes while you're at it. And once you get that far, then you never start just straight to the bagpipes, because you'll never make a good sound ever. So it's
right,
nice.
Okay, that makes sense.
You start with the practice chanter to get yourself used to the tunes, and then once you're feeling comfortable enough, then you upgrade to the whole set and try to work that constant pressure game and that dexterity test to make sure I'm playing so that everything sounds in the same volume. Otherwise, loss of pressure makes them honk and squeak and usually makes people say, oh, that's a horrible sounding instrument.
Another interesting question for me is that when you're growing up and you're learning the music, and obviously you're not going to hit the notes exactly correctly the first time or the third time or the 20th time or whatnot. Was this something that could affect the neighbors? Like, a difference between you know, playing on a keyboard that you can plug in headphones and nobody else in the room knows that you're doing that. But bagpipes, you can't fake that, and it goes everywhere. So,
oh, yeah.
was that an issue for family in the house or neighbors or whatnot?
I was very lucky that between my parents and my next-door neighbors when I was a kid, everybody was very, very understanding. Everybody was very patient, and they all thought, you know, that's cool that he's learning that, you know. And I try to be respectful and keep it to, you know, not very long sessions and also not too late at night.
Okay. No midnight, I just need to work on the song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely okay. Not. Like, my parents were, God bless them, they're always so understanding and so encouraging that I was playing my bagpipes in my room right down the hall from the living room, full set, very loud, making mistakes, and they were like, hey, let them go for it, you know?
Well, but I think that's an important lesson for everyone, because that patience is what pays off to get you to the point where you are now. So if you are a neighbor of someone who's learning an instrument, that type of patience will pay off in the long term for somebody who then benefits from that experience. And then the entire community benefits from the experience, because you bring that and you share that talent with other people, with your music with other people. In fact, we're going to listen to just a little bit more of Ken Storrs right before our break. So here's Ken Storrs, the Lone Piper. And that was Ken Storrs, the Lone Piper. And as we go to our break, we want to just give another shout out to those neighbors and to the parents who are so supportive when you're learning an instrument. It's not going to sound that 100% the first time, but through the patience, you then take on all sorts of opportunities, including the opportunities to perform on very special and festive occasions, like festivals, very somber occasions, such as the funerals, which are very important for families and the family members. You were going to talk about some of the different events that you've performed in your career and events that may occur in the future. So we'll be back in just a few moments with Ken Storrs here on Nutmeg Chatter. Thank you. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm here in studio with Ken Storrs, the Lone Piper. We're talking about his performing career, performing with the bagpipes, although he has performed with many other instruments. You know many other instruments, but what your forte is the bagpipes. Now, what are some of the types of events that you would perform at? I assume that you've played in parades.
Oh, yeah. A lot of local ones. I try to keep it tight in the community between Winsted, Torrington. I've even done the memorial parade for the Bantam Veterans Association. They've always been really good to me. And also the East Granby Veterans Association have been good to me. Between those and usually anywhere between Memorial Day parades, they have the pet parade in Winsted, which is kind of a fun...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
If anybody's ever heard of it, it's basically like bring your pets, the little floats. It's a very fun, like, local thing to get into. They've always been nice enough to ask me to lead the parade. It always feels nice to be the Pied Piper of any parade, you know?
That's you do seem to have that, position where you are leading the charge, whether it's at the ceremonies of a graduation, whether it's at a parade. Just a technical question. You described the many different aspects that helps make the bagpipe sound the way that it does. So you're making sure the bag is full, all the pipes are where they need to be, moving the fingers. But then you're adding another aspect of it, which is you're walking. Mm-hmm. How does that change the dynamic? Is it easier to play just standing straight, or do you find that that's no difference whatsoever, or just with practice?
Between the two, I mean, it is nice when you could just hold still because it does help you just concentrate a little. The nice thing with marching, though, is most tunes that you play for parades are marches, which luckily goes right in tempo with your steps that you're taking.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So you're keeping in time.
Yeah, with your own footsteps. Yeah. It's great. Just like 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I can do the bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. It's perfect to keep that up. And as long as you don't run out of marches to play for the whole length of the parade, you're in good shape.
What was one of the first experiences where you were performing for a large group of people you didn't know, whether that was in specifically bagpipes, which is a very, I would say, can be a solo venture, although there are bands with bagpipes, many play bagpipes, but for you, where you're performing solo, the bagpipes.
I'm trying to remember what the biggest and first one was.
Or any memorable ones that you would say, this would be illustrative of a situation where perhaps a young person who might pick up the bagpipes could learn from that experience.
I'd have to say probably the most nerve-wracking one I've ever had was when I first went to, there's actually a college in Canada that teaches how to play bagpipes.
Ah, okay.
They're associated with the same college that I guess originally started in Scotland. It's called the College of Piping and Celtic... College of Piping and Celtic Performing Arts of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they're located right in Prince Edward Island. And when you first learn how to play pipes through them, one of their requirements is, all right, now we have to have a performance. And you're like, oh, a performance in front of people? Whereas, like, I'm up in Canada. I didn't know anybody up there. And I'm seeing a whole bunch of faces watching me along with other pipers, but it was still kind of a nerve-wracking experience to be looking out. And, you know, it's nice when you're a local piper and you got all your friends or family nearby. Mm-hmm. You got somebody you can connect with, you know, through just by eyesight and eye connection. And it kind of helps you keep the butterflies down. But if you're out and about by yourself and you're like, okay, go time, game time, got to concentrate.
And with a bagpipe as well, it's not something that you can fake. I can say from personal experience that if I when I played the clarinet and in a full orchestra, if you missed a note, really, as long as it wasn't too loud, nobody would know, and you could kind of wing that sort of thing. You can't hide with the bagpipes. No. The bagpipes are the experience.
It's you up front, everybody hears you. I've only played with a band a couple times, but for the most part I've always just been the lone piper. So when you're out there front and center, you basically make sure to always be tight on all your tunes. Like, I always keep a practice chanter in the car for warming up before any event or any gig. I always want to make sure I'm tight, I'm warmed up, everything's loose, and you know, you don't want to ever go to a gig, you know, not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
That makes sense. Okay, because you must need a lot of energy to sustain the work that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Like, right. Between the dexterity of keeping the bag and keeping the tunes in mind and always being very precise with all your finger movements, that's one aspect. And then other aspects are making sure your pipes are good and maintained, because a lot of people don't know that pipes are easier the more you take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you neglect them, leave them in the car, which I would never, ever recommend. You leave them in the car, or you know, don't play them for too long. It takes a while for them to wear in when you first start. So usually I try to warm them up about an hour or so before any event or show, just to make sure that everything's in good working order. Because when you first start, they can be a little hard right off the bat, and they can also be just a hair out of tune. So it needs a little time to warm up.
Okay, and I guess lastly, as we kind of close our conversation, are there any type of events that you enjoy the most, or is each experience wonderful in their own way?
I'd say, yeah, each one's got its own charm. Funerals are not the most ideal ones to play, but it really means a lot when people come up to me and say, you know, our deceased family really would have appreciated this. Like, I wish they could have been there to see this. Like, that means a lot. And between that and I'd have to say maybe one of the top favorites are weddings, because weddings is just such a happy time.
Yeah.
Everybody's in good moods, and seeing everybody just light up when they're like, bagpipes at this wedding. And, you know, even once everybody gets to the cocktail hour and everybody's got a little bit loosened up, they're like, play us another one. And it just becomes a little bit of a party. And that's why I think weddings would have to be the top.
with such a specialized skill, with such a recognized name, and being able to go out at many, many different well-known venues, there's obviously this kind of word of mouth mm-hmm. that's associated with you. But for those who are hearing that now, hearing this conversation, that would now want to reach out to you, what would be the best way to reach out to you if they wanted to find out more information about your work?
Two best ways are through email or through phone. I usually hand all my business cards as the Lone Piper with my cell phone number on it.
Yes.
Which is 860-307-2984. I can text or call. If I don't pick up right away, feel free to leave me a message. I get back to you ASAP. And also, if easier, through email, which is my Gmail account, which is kstorrs, which is KSTORRS 860@gmail.com.
Well, Ken Storrs, the Lone Piper, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thanks
and talking to us here, showcasing your music here, your very special music here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Some of the music has been provided by Ken Storrs, and we thank him for that. We hope you enjoyed the chat.